This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
From the unexplained to the mundane, come join us on a journey to the fringe. Hello and welcome to Journey to the Fringe. Not actually affiliated with the Fringe. We just like looking at it. The Fringe lawyers actually were really insistent that we put that disclaimer out there at some point. Mm-hmm. So we are your legally obligated hosts, Taylor and Chelsea. Here today, doing an individuals episode. I guess we'll hold...
Oh, that sounds nice.
...off on saying whether or not they're an asshole until the end of it. I think it will sway pretty hard one way as we get going. But I'm not going to tell you which way to keep it a surprise.
Okay, I'll take that.
We're looking at a guy in the Bigfoot community, and his name is Rick Dyer. Have you heard of him before?
I feel like I have, and I'm not sure at this point if it's because you told me you were doing this as an episode, so I never looked at him. I'm pretty sure that's what it is, but I'm pretty sure I might know who you're talking about, but TBD right now.
I think at some point as I'm talking, it's going to click in that you know the story this guy's associated with, but until that point you can remain in speculation about this whole thing.
Okay, fair enough. I will do that.
The interesting thing about Rick Dyer is there's nothing about him before 2008. From what I vaguely get a sense of,
he was nothing.
He just pops onto the scene. From what I can gather, he was either a used car salesman or owned a used car dealership, but I can't tell which is correct from what I've been reading. He was also a corrections officer at some point in there as well, but 2008 is really where we kick things off with this whole story.
Well, I'll just accept both of those things as vaguely in the same direction. I don't think I need either of them
defined. Different vibes from somebody. 100%. They say, hi, used car salesman, or hi, owner of used car dealership.
Do you though?
No.
I would just get more used car salesman vibes off the guy who owns it, I think.
Yeah. Oh, so you know how to train and pick out the used car salesman.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not wrong. Okay. They're generally in the same direction,
though. I believe he's from Georgia, or at least he is around 2008. Somewhat pertinent to the story, but not really. But he's in the States.
Okay.
So, big thing happens in 2008 on August 12th. Him and a man by the name of Matthew Whitman. Yeah, go ahead.
Wow. We're recording like pretty much exactly on that day.
Holy shit, almost, yeah.
Not in 2008, but no. You know.
17 year anniversary. Where were you?
That's crazy.
Matt Whitten and Rick Dyer, they have a press release. They go on this show called The Squatch Detective, hosted by Stephen Cull. And it's a radio show because podcasts aren't a thing at that time. So real prestigious. Their claim is that they have a dead Bigfoot body in their possession.
Right. Did they kill it? Am I getting too ahead of myself? Okay.
After they initially leaked some grainy footage that showed a Bigfoot, they presented the carcass encased in a block of ice at a conference that was only open to the press.
Oh, I remember this story.
The two announced that they had found... Yeah, you can. It might give away some of the story.
Okay, I'm just going to type it and then I'll hit enter later.
The two announced that they had found the 7 foot, 7 inch, 500 pound creature while hiking in the North Georgia Mountains. In June, they come across this like family that's dragging this dead Bigfoot behind them. It's a family of three.
What?
And according to Dyer, basically they scared off the family and then they dragged this body back to civilization. According to Dyer, it took them a day and a half with six men to carry out the Bigfoot. I have no idea who the other six, the other four men are. All the way while being followed by the Bigfoot creatures. Yeah.
The family killed a Bigfoot or found it.
No, basically, I think it was a family of Bigfoot that was like bringing the body of one of their family members somewhere. And they're like, oh, we can get a body of a Bigfoot this way by scaring them off and just taking the body. It's so much easier than killing a Bigfoot.
I don't know that I'd take that risk, but okay. That clarified it.
Yeah. And Witten and Dyer are joined by a man named Tom Biscardi at this news conference. And Biscardi states, last weekend, I touched it. I measured it. Its feet. I felt its intestines. End quote.
What?
And lauded its authenticity. As it thawed, however, things start to happen here.
How did he touch his intestines? I feel like I'm missing some.
I think it was because it like had it at one point. They have the body. And then to preserve it, they throw it in his deep freeze. So I'm guessing that Tom Biscardi had seen it before it went into the deep freeze because it's in a block of ice.
Okay, but is it cut open?
Well, it's a dead body, so I guess it's decomposing. I don't really know. It wasn't that well explained.
How did he touch his intestines?
Now, I'm going to read a bit about the story around this now. This press release was issued on August 12, 2008, and announced a Bigfoot body found and further indicated that DNA evidence and photo evidence of the creature would be presented in the press conference on Friday, August 15th, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. at the Cabana Hotel, Palo Alto, California. This conference was only open to the press. In the press release, the body was described as being 7 foot 7 inches and to be part human and part ape. Further descriptions were included, but the location of the find was kept secret, supposedly to protect the rare species. Tom Biscardi, CEO of Searching for Bigfoot, Inc., also claims to be a real Bigfoot hunter, was scheduled to attend the press conference. On Squatch Detectives, Dyer had said that Biscardi was the only person that Matt Witten and Rick Dyer, the possessors of the thing, wanted to verify the body. Biscardi's doings had long been featured in the media. In December of 73, Saga magazine reported on his initial search for Bigfoot in 73. A webcam service in 2005, which planned to show a Bigfoot in captivity, was never activated. But methods of publicity were different in 2008. Both Witten and Dyer had earlier posted about their alleged find, claimed that they had discovered him in the mountains of North Georgia on their own website and on YouTube in June and July of 2008. Upon the issuance of the August 12th press release, Lauren Coleman posted with considerable excitement on his website, Cryptomundo. Responses posted on the site vary from enthusiasm to skeptical takes on the situation. One pro writer posted on August 12th that he had noticed that the distributor of the press release, RM Barrows Inc., was an interesting choice, since Barrows was a sculptor and a former TV production assistant in Hollywood. Others discussed the participation of Tom Biscardi and what it meant to the situation. The press conference took place and confusing DNA results were mentioned, resulting in skeptical reactions from some well-known people in the field. But once this press release happens, in an online article at WSB-TV, Jeffrey Muldrum, a professor at Idaho State University and researcher of Bigfoot, stated that he found the photos exhibited at the Palo Alto News Conference unconvincing and told Scientific America that it resembled a costume. He also found Biscardi not credible. And in the same article, Matt Moneymaker of the Bigfoot Field Research Organization, BFRO, described the subject of the photography as, quote, a Halloween costume in a box. Lauren Coleman exhibited skepticism considering the probability of the hoax at 99%. Chelsea, can you find a picture of the Bigfoot in the freezer?
Well, no, but if I Googled Tom Biscardi, he's holding like a photo of a Bigfoot with like its tongue out, maybe? But the one guy felt his intestines, so that has to be. How would I find the Bigfoot in the freezer? Because Bigfoot in the freezer does not come up if I Google it. What's his
Rick Dyer?
Okay, well, there's a freezer with the Bigfoot in it.
Yeah, I'm actually pretty sure. I can't confirm it, but I think this is the photo here. I'm just going to share my screen. I'm pretty sure it's this photo.
Yeah, that's the one I found. I wouldn't say that it necessarily looks... I mean, I can't blow it up, but I don't know. I don't know that it looks real. Are those intestines on its...
No.
Waves?
I think it's underneath it. I don't know for sure, though. Steve Call, host of the Squash Detectives Radio and its associated website, squashdetective.com, posted onto Tom Biscardi's website that the evidence for which they paid Witten and Dyer, who provided them an alleged Bigfoot and a block of ice, was spurious. The realization had come when tests were done. On August 16th, before the ice encased thing was fully uncovered, Calls had, he'd been provided some hairs of it and he tried burning it. So he tried burning the hairs and they melted into a ball.
But which, why?
Because it's plastic, it's not actual hair.
But why would he burn it?
I guess it was just a test to see if it's a real hair or not.
Oh, someone else did it.
The host of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When the melting was accelerated, the head was soon found to be unusually hollow, which is in quotation marks. Not sure why.
That is unusual.
When the feet, too, were exposed, it became evident that the lower extremities were constructed of rubber. Thus, not long after that tantalizing buildup came the letdown that the creature was actually a rubber suit filled with slaughterhouse byproducts and roadkill.
Oh, disgusting.
You have to make it seem dead, so why not put some entrails in there for the smell?
That makes it worse. That makes it so worse.
The two men who had provided the ape suit on ice, Witten, who was an officer of the Clayton County Police Department, and Dyer, who was once a Georgian corrections officer, had been bragging about the revelations. Witten had said that those who had belittled them would have to eat their words. That didn't happen. After the revelations of the fake, Coleman compiled a timeline on the development of the hoax entitled, quote, Ultimate Georgia Bigfoot Hoax Timeline 2008, which is what I'm actually reading from. It informatively connected the activities of some of the major players, particularly the interplay of Biscardi, Witten, Dyer, and Culls, and included the early Clayton County Daily and Atlanta coverage. At this point, Coleman termed his earlier August 12th posting as one of skeptical optimism. Jerry Perino, owner of the Internet Halloween costumer retailer, thehorrordome.com, said that the costume, quote, definitely looks like our costume, end quote, after viewing photos of Dyer's Bigfoot. Upon inspection, it was confirmed that the corpse was in fact the costume stuffed with possum, roadkill, entrails, and slaughterhouse leftovers.
Oh my god.
Ugh. National Geographic's called the hoax a short-lived one as the whole affair lasted only a few days. And upon being exposed, Dyer said, he says he did actually have a Bigfoot corpse. However, a government agency had confiscated the real Bigfoot body. And
oh,
believed
I
he needed
this.
To prove something, he faked it. Because you don't want to look like an idiot saying that you have a Bigfoot body
no,
and the government
no.
takes it.
And I could, this is just how the community goes. Like when you're disproven in something, then it's, you know,
it's the deep state. Yeah.
It's the deep state. It's whoever is working against you. It's the government. It's whoever it is. Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know. You know, has taken it away. And so you, like, are left with nothing. So that's why you had to fake it. Ugh, oh, my gosh.
And anyhow, the Bigfoot Research Organization, BFRO, got super upset with this whole situation, and they still to this day have this article posted about the whole situation that they want to be known that they really don't like this. The original motivation for the Georgia body hoax was the attempt by Sheriff Deputy Matt Witten and used car salesman Rick Dyer to offer expeditions like the BFRO. Bigfoot expeditions looked like a great business to them because the BFRO's expeditions often sell out months in advance.
What?
They saw an opportunity to attract people who didn't sign up for the BFRO's trip in time. This same motivation was shared by the infamous hoaxer Tom Biscardi. Years before his hoax, Biscardi had started a company called the Great America Bigfoot Field Research Organization, GABFRO, in a blatant attempt to confuse people who had heard about BFRO expeditions. Biscardi is a former Las Vegas promoter and eventually changed the name of his business entity to Searching for Bigfoot Inc. Even with relentless publicity campaign to advertise his expeditions, no one signed up. As his money started to run out, he became increasingly desperate for media attention. He saw the potential in the Georgia body story for a lot of free publicity, so he jumped in to advise and partner with the Georgia Boys. With the help of tantalizing press release television, he managed to bring nationwide TV coverage to his bizarre self-promoting press conference in Palo Alto. This press conference fulfilled the fantasy he had for decades, a live press conference wherein he could command the attention momentarily of all major media networks and thereby proclaim himself to be the real Bigfoot hunter. It was both madness and a scam. And if you look, like CNN still has an article up on this.
I just got to ask a quick question.
Yeah.
You decide you're going to go with your passion, Bigfoot hunting tours. Do you go all in, or do you offer it as a side hustle first?
I would definitely start it like we did this podcast, having a job firmly in hand.
I feel like you rely on it. I feel like you don't go all in on it like that, so that by the time you're not selling your Bigfoot tours, then, you know, you got to reach out to something like this. I don't feel like you go all in on it. Just me, though.
In the process of trying to draw attention to their phony expedition business, the Georgia Boys noticed that some incredulous critics suddenly became extremely polite and even helpful when the boys began claiming that they had in their possession the body of a dead Bigfoot. That particular lie struck a curious chord in many people, as if the boys claimed to have had a vision of the Virgin Mary. Like a vision of the Virgin Mary, the claim of having the body of a dead Bigfoot touched a nerve in many people. A superstitious nerve that makes them both fearful and helpful at the same time. The Georgia Boys saw this happening, so they began promoting the dead Bigfoot lie with full force and even more ludicrous videos on YouTube, which unfortunately you can't find.
Ah, damn it.
The fact that Witten was a sheriff deputy is ultimately what made the hoax go as far as it did. Most people, including those in the media, assume that a sheriff deputy would not put his reputation and career on the line by promoting a hoax that was bound to unravel in disgrace. It didn't make sense, so the Georgia Boys were given the benefit of the doubt by the world media. When Biscardi stepped into the picture, he convinced the two Georgia Boys that there was a way for everyone involved to make a lot more money quickly. He convinced them that they had nothing to worry about and that they would all make out like bandits before the hoax finally unraveled. The Georgia Boys took the matter as far as they did because they knew hoaxes are not illegal. If the claims were only made to the news media, and the boys never made a false report to the local authorities. The two Georgia Boys did make a few thousand dollars from the hoax, but Deputy Witten was fired in disgrace because of this. So you can't put him on the stand for anything as somebody who works for law enforcement, because the defense is always going to say, aren't you the guy who faked a Bigfoot?
Not credible. I mean, even if you're not faking a Bigfoot, if you come out with something like, I actually have a Bigfoot, you're still that guy. You're probably not credible ever again. Even if you actually found a Bigfoot.
But nothing really happens to Rick. He lost nothing in the process because he had no career to lose in the first place. He was living hand to mouth as a self-employed used car dealer. Biscardi hoped to make a windfall before the hoax unraveled, but it appears now that he made very little from the hoax and is now destitute.
Hmm.
The BFRO had been tracking the antics of the Georgia Boys several weeks prior to the press conference. We tried to warn everyone via our public discussion forum of the impending hoax a full week prior to the press conference, after it was learned that the Georgia Boys joined forces with veteran hoaxer Biscardi. Based on his past tactics, we knew that Biscardi would shoot for maximum publicity and would come up with a scheme to make a windfall of money from the intense curiosity on the internet generated by the media publicity. As the BFRO first announced, 2 days prior to the press conference, the body was a widely available Halloween costume stuffed into a large cooler and filled with rotting animal entrails. At this stage, everyone in the Bigfoot research community would like nothing more than to whisk this hoax back into the dustbin of history. Unfortunately, we have to keep this page available and prominent a while, because, unfortunately, many people who heard about the hoax were only listening with half an ear or heard distorted details from other people. In several instances, people mistakenly assumed the BFRO was the group that said they had a dead Bigfoot, rather than the ones who debunked it. In one example, a misinformed person assumed that the man who held the press conference must be that professor from Idaho. No, wrong guy and wrong organization. It's a shame that we have to straighten this out with people, because it means we'll be straightening it out for a long time into the future.
Yeah.
When the Georgia Boys first received some press attention in Georgia, the press attention attracted Biscardi. Biscardi didn't start the Georgia hoax, but instead latched onto it, basically creating it as they did. I think the BFRO did a fairly good explanation of that. But after the body was revealed to be a fake to the mass media, some newspapers reported that Biscardi was swindled out of $50,000 by the Georgia Boys, but this was incorrect. Biscardi had persuaded a man in Indiana to front $50,000 to the Georgia Boys. In exchange for the body, Biscardi promised to pay the man back in 90 days. But once it became clear that the body was fake, Biscardi urged the man to sue the Georgia guys in order to get his money back. Don't come to me, go to them.
Whatever you're just talking about.
Getting $50,000 for the body from some rich guy in Indiana.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow and Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Okay, I just gotta ask. You need money quick. What are you gonna do? Find a Bigfoot costume and go find some random animal parts to stuff it with?
I don't think that's a bad plan.
How much money could you possibly see come in from that overall, though?
Well, and I guess the real question, too, is, like, how quick do you need it? Because these guys did, like, they say they've caught it in June. And it took at least a few weeks to set it up.
You look at all these people, and I don't know if they just have that certain gift of people that we've covered in the past who are quote-unquote grifters that continue to just tell their audience that they're just here to make money off of them, and they're giving them money specifically with stuff like this. So I just don't know if it's not people who are interested in the topic and are easily kind of conned into something like that because they're more dispositioned to believe in something like that. I don't know what it would be.
But like, I don't know how it'd make money faster than that.
I don't know either, unless you already have a following of people. I mean, I would sell some stuff on Marketplace.
Or you know how to get into like drug sales the bottles or something in. Like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'd be like Bigfoot, dead Bigfoot. That's the way to do it. That wouldn't be my first thing.
No, that money, like, I would always almost worry that it would be a short-term fix because everybody's going to want their money back as soon as they figure out, which they will figure out, that it is not a dead body.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like they made that much money off of it. So it just, and it just feels like such a dishonest way to make money. I don't know that that's what I would leap at for my first thing to try and make money. It doesn't feel like something that I would default to, like, this, got it. I got it. We're gonna pretend we got a Bigfoot and stuff it in.
I know. But anyhow, just so that we're all clear on the consequences, this next portion of my script is entitled Consequences. So Witten, as we said, was first put on medical leave, and then the police chief, Jeff Turner, worked on paperwork to terminate Witten's employment because of the integrity issues involved. Witten had lied to the international media, and any defense lawyer could in the future question his truthfulness in court.
Fair enough.
On August 19th, telephone calls to Witten and Dyer were not returned by them. Their voicemail spiel, which told of their search for the Loch Ness Monster and leprechauns, had been updated to also include their search for dinosaurs and big cats.
My voicemail is all wrong. I just realized.
CNN affiliate WSB
I need to update it.
Ran video about Witten and Dyer talking about how their fun, quote, got legs and ran, end quote, and they claimed it was all a joke that got out of control. Biscardi's searching for Bigfoot Inc. website in an August 19th posting claimed to be, quote, seeking justice for themselves and for all the people who were deceived by this deception. So that's Biscardi just distancing himself.
Out of all of them, he seemed like the worst one, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. And then Witten and Dyer, however, used their notoriety in media pursuits. Their website, BigfootTracker.com, asked, quote, do you know of a haunted house, hotel, or any kind of hoax? It takes hoaxers to bust a hoax, end quote.
What?
This tied into their YouTube show, Hoaxbusters. Chelsea, that's the saga of Rick Dyer. What do you think?
I totally remember this. And what I meant to ask you, they were on Coast to Coast AM, right? This has to be where I know them from.
Biscardi was for sure. I can't remember if Rick Dyer ever got on Coast to Coast. And I think this is actually something that they wouldn't be advertising anymore if they were.
No, I don't think that they would take it off. If he was on there, they wouldn't take it off.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't see it.
Tom Biscardi has a long history as president and CEO of organizations in a wide range of businesses, including advertising, insurance, and marketing consultation. Tom began his Bigfoot research in 1967. His first company relating to Bigfoot research was, quote, Amazing Horizons Corporation in 1971. According to Biscardi's resume, He was founder and expedition leader of a principal company responsible for the existence and documentation on the legendary creature called Bigfoot. His website is greatamericanbigfoot.com. He has some videos, Bigfoot Alive in 82, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, Legend of Bigfoot. He was on some really random Bigfoot. He was on Bigfoot Roundtable. I remember listening to this on Coast to Coast AM, though, and it's really weird. Maybe they have wiped it. Strange. I don't see any mention of...
Yeah, it's actually really weird when you look for Ricky Dyer. Most of his social media presence, it's not there anymore.
I'm sure I heard this on Coast to Coast AM.
Now, Chelsea, I should say at this point, it turns out I'm only halfway through my script. So we're going to jump forward to 2012.
I thought you were closing it out. You fooled me.
Dyer claims to have killed a Bigfoot-like creature in San Antonio, Texas in early September.
Another, not another one, but now he's in possession of another dead Bigfoot.
Another dead Bigfoot.
Okay, and he stopped on the way home to purchase a lottery ticket as well, I would hope.
Let's go through this article. It's from CNET back in the day. Infamous Bigfoot hunter Rick Dyer claims to have shot and killed the elusive Sasquatch and says he plans to show off its lifeless corpse on an upcoming whirlwind media tour.
Okay, maybe this is what I remember.
Though Dyer has tried to fool the public before and deservedly faces more than a little skepticism, he claims this corpse is the real thing. During a September 2012 expedition in San Antonio, Texas, with BAFTA-winning filmmaker Morgan Matthews and his British documentary film crew in tow, Dyer says he lured Hank, which is what we call it, out with, quote, pork ribs from Walmart, end quote, doused in his special barbecue sauce and attached to trees. Quote, we nailed them all around the trees, and then that night we heard Bigfoot come back, end quote. Dyer told Esquire, quote, I chased him down in the middle of the night. I shot him once. He ran. I shot him again, end quote. The footage in the upcoming film, Shooting Bigfoot, which was what they were filming at the time.
Oh my gosh, Shooting Bigfoot. Wow.
However, there is a source out there, a homeless man, who says that he was paid to attack the filming crew in a staged presence by Dyer. Dyer posted evidence in a YouTube video on January 2nd, revealing an up-close shot of a Bigfoot without camera flashes.
Oh.
Quote, Bigfoot is not tooth fairy. Bigfoot is real, end quote, Dyer told KSAT News. Quote, the most important thing to me is being vindicated, letting people know that I am the best Bigfoot tracker in the world and it's not just me saying it, end quote. Dyer also told the hosts of an Australian morning show that a video of Bigfoot autopsy is completed and will be shown soon. He planned a February 6th press conference to reveal even more Bigfoot details, presumably including the dates of the macabre corpse tour across the United States in Canada. CNET has contacted Dyer for comment on this alleged catch and will update the story when and if we hear back. He claimed that an unnamed university in Washington State had tested the creature's DNA and told Dyer that it was an unknown species. Dyer's accomplice and self-proclaimed Bigfoot skeptic Alam Islam, also known apparently as Muskie Allen, of Wakanda, Illinois, claimed to have inspected Dyer's Bigfoot in Las Vegas in February 2013 and proclaimed it to be the real thing. This claim resulted in many people getting sucked into Dyer's scam. Dyer called the creature Hank and started touring the body around the US and charging people to view it. To view the body, which lay beneath plexiglass in a wooden coffin, adults were charged $10 and kids were charged $5.
I feel like I'd go. As much as I want to be, I'm not the person that would go to this. I feel like even if I knew it was fake, I'd still be like, it's worth $10. It's a Bigfoot. I gotta go see a Bigfoot, even if it's a fake Bigfoot. I can't just not go see...
Nobody really knows how much he made from this either. Some say it was upwards of $500,000, but like there's no actual sources on it. So
you would think that the tax man would want to know how much he made from that.
Yeah, but the tax man don't tell us.
That's true.
Of the creature, Dyer stated, quote, DNA, DNA sequencing, scans, autopsies, everything you can imagine, it was being done, end quote. Some of the media endorsed Dyer, including Andrew Clacy. I don't know who Andrew Clacy is.
No, neither do I.
Critics soon pointed out that Dyer had pulled off a Bigfoot hoax in 2008. I think you're going to be more determined to actually get a Bigfoot body.
I love that perspective. I love that that's where you went with it. That's just thinking on the bright side.
Well, and maybe even from the start too, when he told people he had a body, maybe that was the motivation to actually find a Bigfoot body. You know how, like, if you say, yeah, like, oh yeah, I lost 10 pounds on this diet, maybe that's actually motivation to lose 10 pounds.
But I just love how, did nobody realize this in the first place?
It's in different areas. It's not involving Witten or Biscardi this time around. So maybe he thought he could get away with it.
But it seems like people didn't immediately notice that he was the same guy that ran the hoax in the first place. Okay, I love the gusto in it, at least, at the very least.
Don't know for
least.
Sure how they advertised the press conference. Maybe they didn't say who was going to be saying they had a body or what was going to be said.
Oh, okay.
And maybe it was like,
I gotta think
afterwards.
I'm just thinking, as a person who lives a normal life, I would say I live a normal life. I run a Bigfoot hoax. I think, you know, I need money. I can't do a YouTube live. I don't have a big enough audience to just tell an audience that I need them to give me money. So I'm like, okay, I love Bigfoots. I have a Bigfoot costume. I'm going to fill it with possums and fucking squirrels and sausage from the
and
store.
I got this buddy who works down at the meat processing plant. He can get me some good stuff.
Yeah, and I'm going to make a lot of money at it. And then I'm going to $2,000 and it's going to be proved it's a hoax. And I stop for years. And then years later, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it another go. This time without these guys. They're everything that was wrong with it the last time. They fucked it all up. I'm going to try this again. And so I do. I don't understand the thinking.
It's perplexing. See, there's more story. So don't worry.
There's
we're
going to
be even more confounded with everything.
Okay. Okay.
And like, there is a documentary out there called Shooting Bigfoot. I can't find it anywhere. It was on Prime
Why
for a while.
Why is that the name of the doc? Shooting Bigfoot.
Yeah, because they were following him around. He happened to claim that he shot the Bigfoot while this was being documented.
What do real Bigfoot, because there's Bigfoot people.
Yes,
like,
squatters.
What do they think of this guy?
I hate this guy.
Do you get into that? Okay,
yeah,
they hate him.
Like, I even the BFF who are somewhat in the squatcher industry, they give the tours, they hate this guy.
Yeah, I could see it. Okay.
They haven't taken down their article from 2008 because they don't want people confusing this and they hate him.
Yeah, I could see why they hate him. Shooting Bigfoot. What a name. I mean, it goes right alongside with filling a fucking suit of a Bigfoot with decomposing animals.
And throughout the course of the hoax, Dyer repeatedly slandered anyone who openly spoke up about him. Many suggested this tactic was just more proof that Dyer was hoaxing again. Professor Don Jeffrey Meldrum at the Department of Anthropology at Idaho State University stated, quote, "The thing has clearly been fabricated to depict a specimen that has been dissected. It smacks of images of alien autopsy," end quote, which is an infamous fake video out there.
Yes.
Of an actual alien autopsy. I don't know if I had to say that, but I feel like I should still include it.
Yeah, it was in fact an actual alien autopsy, I believe, right?
Of course, but it was done in a way that made it look really fake.
Yeah, just like this Bigfoot one, I presume.
It's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever watched Community, Chelsea, but John Goodman's character puts all of these things around somebody so that they'll never believe the story that you tell them about his air conditioning school. Like, he has a black Hitler and an astronaut making waffles, and it's just so that if you ever tell somebody about it, it sounds like it's fake. That's how you would record an alien autopsy.
I love that. Okay, that's amazing. I didn't know John Goodman was on Community.
Oh yeah, it's a great little arc there. Responding to the controversy, team members working with Dyer on the touring and Bigfoot projects overall confronted Dyer. Andrew Clacy, a spokesperson for the project, wrote, quote, "I confronted Mr. Dyer in Daytona on my suspicions of authenticity, and he admitted to me personally that the body of Hank was not a real body, but rather a construct of a company from Washington State, which was paid by Rick Dyer. I am available and willing to cooperate with any federal or state law enforcement investigations should they arise." This guy takes his Bigfoot stuff way too seriously. He thinks anybody's getting charged.
Oh, that guy is the true hero of this story.
Clacy immediately flew back to Australia and abandoned both the project and Dyer.
Oh, I like that guy.
Artist Chris Russell of Twisted Toy Box in Spokane, Washington, says he made the Bigfoot Dyer called Hank last November and December. Quote,
"Everyone's turning on him."
He was told, well, once that came out, they started looking for people. And this guy says, "I was told the body would be used in making of a film about killing Bigfoots." Russell said in an email. Now Dyer acknowledges that that the body is a fake, but he still maintains he did shoot and kill a Bigfoot, but fears the real thing would be stolen, according to the San Antonio News Express. The newspaper reported that Dyer admitted the hoax on Facebook. Quote, "From this moment on, I will speak the truth. No more lies, tall tales, or wild goose chases to mess with the haters."
Wow, good for him.
Quote, Dyer said on his Facebook, which has since been deleted. Quote, "I never treated any bad. I'm a joker. I play around. That's just me." End quote. Russell says it took about 2 weeks for him and two other artists on his team to make him. Quote, "I was asked to make a prop look like a poorly made, old and rotten taxidermy prop that had not been preserved correctly. Dyer did send photos and drawings taken from the internet and asked for certain features to be replicated," end quote. Russell said in an email that he sent photos of the sculpture to Dyer for his approval, and that Dyer then used a photo to create, quote, "a medical scan," end quote, of Hank. Quote, "This medical scan was nothing more than a cell phone photo of the head sculpture that I took, was put into Photoshop and made into a negative by Dyer," end quote. Dyer also wanted a Bigfoot family and asked that a baby Bigfoot and female be created. Russell said he couldn't make more due to harassment I was getting through the internet, email, and phone calls. In an interview posted on Facebook, Russell said Dyer took precautions about keeping the truth about Hank secret. Quote, "I signed non-disclosure agreements with Dyer's LLC to keep this a secret until the code word Project Footprint was said. I was only to answer phone calls from a number listed in my phone as Project Footprint," end quote. Dyer maintains that he actually does have the body of a real Bigfoot that he shot and killed, but cannot produce it.
Oh my god, this fucking guy.
And funny enough, Dr. Melba Ketchum is somewhat involved in this. It's super weird, because I've Googled it and I can only find one thing. This is on her Facebook page, and it's a comment on March 1st, 2013. This is Robin writing for Dr. Ketchum. "As some of you may already know, Mr. Rick Dyer asked Dr. Ketchum to come and view the body of his Bigfoot. This was made public tonight on Blog Talk Radio. At this time, Dr. Ketchum will not be commenting other than to say that she is responding and will be talking with Rick Dyer."
And that's it.
But then, just below it, one of the comments says, "Wait, who changed Dr. Ketchum's comment?" Both of them, where she accepted Rick Dyer's invitation to see the Bigfoot body being held near Vegas. "I know she accepted because I selected the like button and now it's gone. And now there's a third entry, a disclaimer or an attempt by her assistant to rephrase Ketchum's response." So I'm really curious what she had said.
Oh my god.
And yeah, that's his 2012-2014 hoax. I think the real question is, what has Rick Dyer been up to since 2014 onwards?
I think that is the real question.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Question I've been wondering,
especially after like he ends it with that Facebook comment of like, "No more lying, only the truth,"
and then he drops off the face of the earth,
kind of. And this is really
until
weird.
Recently
we're going to talk about it. I asked 3 AIs what was going on with Rick Dyer and after the hoax. 2 out of the 3 agree with this, but none of this seems to exist online anymore. So I think it's reasonable to assume this did happen. And that is that Rick Dyer took a far-right and conspiracy-driven career from this. Over kind of various platforms, he was on BitChute, he's on Rumble.
What the hell is BitChute and Rumble?
Very far-right stuff. Don't.
Okay, that would explain why I don't need... Yeah. I've never even heard of them, so that was all I need to know.
His presence has been scattered due to bans and deletions. So
really?
Some things that came up on YouTube, he had a show called Rick Dyer TV and The Real Rick Dyer, and he discussed COVID-19. He had a video titled COVID Scam Exposed, 2020 Election Fraud, Supporting Trump's Big Lie, QAnon adjacent themes like deep state corruption. In a 2021 video, which I can't find, but both of the AIs agree it existed, he claimed that Fauci funded Bigfoot research to distract from COVID. COVID lies, which I just don't even know what to think of that.
I can't form a thought on it.
He has been on several podcasts. Apparently, he went on one called The Hageman Report, which is a far-right conspiracy podcast. He did a 2021 interview where he tied Bigfoot to government bioengineering and called COVID the plandemic. And he went on the Freaky Truth podcast in 2022, where he talked about the globalist elite and fake news media. He was suspended from Twitter. I think he's back on X, but I don't know for sure. It's because his names get really weird. And he also did a collaboration with a YouTuber called The Crypto Kid in 2023, where they discussed Bigfoot and the New World Order, blending cryptozoology with far-right conspiracies. And he talked to the Flat Earth British guy, where Dyer appeared on his show in 2022, comparing Bigfoot hoaxes to NASA lies.
Bigfoot hoaxes, but he's the one lying about Bigfoot.
Well, allegedly, because remember, Chelsea, he said he's only doing the truth from here on out.
But he said he's doing the truth from here on out, but he also said that he just made the doll of Bigfoot because the deep state, what have you, took away the actual Bigfoot.
I did do a bit of a Reddit search for him, and I did find that apparently he did post a video in 2019, where this is the title of the Reddit post. Another Rick Dyer hoax in the making. Holy shit, Dyer is going for the trifecta. And it's a 5-minute video basically explaining how he has another body in 2019.
Oh my God.
Chelsea, I just gotta share with you now. This is from 7 months ago. I found this video of Rick Dyer on his official page. It took me a while to figure this out. His official page is Rick the Car Guy, and he's just given a life update.
No. So he's still a used car salesman?
He does a whole update. He owns 2 used car dealerships, and he invested $10,000 in Dogecoin when it first dropped. And he's made apparently pretty good money off it.
I could see it, actually. See, you make more money off that than faking a Bigfoot. So why fake a Bigfoot? Why fake it is my question. I don't get it.
And Chelsea, I just need to show you this part of his life update.
My life has not been squeaky clean. And I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, which I call them learning experiences. But I'm not a criminal. I have never been convicted of anything at all, not even one speeding ticket my whole life. Contrary to popular belief, you know, most people believe, oh, I'm some sort of scammer or I'm some sort of this or that. But the fact of the matter is I'm not. I am the world's greatest Bigfoot hunter, and that's where a lot of this comes from. And some people think I'm ashamed of my Bigfoot days. Man, my Bigfoot days are now. We just signed another contract with the Discovery Channel. And we're going to go hunt for him again, and we're going to get another body, and we're going to tour the country again.
No,
I'm
you're
proud
not.
Of that. And I would do it again and again and again. In fact, I have my own channel on YouTube and TikTok. It's called Bigfoot Master Tracker. Look it up and follow me. But this time it's going to be a lot bigger, a lot better, and 100 times more entertaining. We found the beast in 2008. We found the beast in 2012. And we're going to find them again in 2025. And we're close this time. So my name is Rick Dyer, and I am the king of cars.
Discovery? No.
Yeah. We got to take him at his word. But
yeah. When is this from?
7 months
Seven
ago.
7 months ago.
Yeah.
Discovery would not give a contract, would they?
I would hope not. But he has he has a
They're
name.
They're putting out some pretty
him.
Shit TV.
And the guy is a character.
Yeah, I could see it. Discovery hosts TLC now, and they put out some pretty shit TV these days. So I could actually see it without them doing their full research behind the guy, them actually putting him on TV. I didn't like how that ends.
And you wonder why he's the one I decided to follow from this.
No, that was good. The shame about Bigfoot is I love Bigfoot, which is why you told me I was going to like this episode, I think.
Yeah.
There's some pretty cool stuff when it comes to Bigfoot. And that's why I say I would be a taken in if somebody was touring, be like, here's a Bigfoot. I would totally pay $10 to see a Bigfoot. Not that I want to see a costume stuffed with animal carcasses, but
see, the costume was not stuffed with animal carcasses. They just got somebody professionally make it up.
Well, the first one in a freezer.
No, oh, yeah, the first one, yeah. No, we don't want to smell that.
But there's some pretty cool stuff to do with Bigfoot, and we've done really good Bigfoot episodes before. So it just pains me to see Bigfoot painted in this light of some guy that just continually is hoaxing this stuff, because Bigfoot is a majestic being who does not deserve to be portrayed in this light.
I found this guy to be like such an interesting character in that, like, he just keeps
But why would you keep doing it? And it's not just if you're faking Bigfoot, it would be anything. Even Stanley Tiger.
That was kind of the child adjacent things that he had to deal with. But it almost sounded like after the 2008 one, they were going to expand out into other things and like find a Loch Ness monster body. And like,
yes, he
thought it was like too hard and he's just going to go back to doing gorilla suits. Because that's the easiest thing to fake at the end of the day.
You're right. We've been covering Loch Ness a little. They're really watching it. Because remember the last thing we covered was them watching AI with Loch Ness. So they're really on top of it. Bigfoot's a whole other thing because the Loch Ness is like fully relying on tourism for that. Bigfoot, not so much as
There's like an area that people rely heavily on it. Like there might be a few businesses that do, but like an entire town.
Well, there is, I would say specifically for my area, Harrison Hot Springs.
No, but it's not about finding the Bigfoot. It's more about like the lore about it there.
There it is, the lore, because of the
actual draws the hot springs.
The indigenous around that area. However, to the town itself, there's lots of Bigfoots around the town. They have Bigfoot tours that you can go on. They have a Bigfoot center that you can go to. So I would argue that a little bit. And I think there's a few towns around the PNW that are the same way. They fully rely on Bigfoot. I can't say for other parts of the country. I'm sure just like you would find the Mothman is probably a huge thing for Point Pleasant, but it's in different ways than you would find with that. But strange that he would be caught for a hoaxer twice and decide to do it some more.
Each time he said, no, I still have a body.
Yeah, he's really sticking with it. And then how would you even go about getting it? You just know he's the one that went to Discovery about it to get a show. I'm interested to see if he actually gets a show or if it's not something that he's just making up to get more views or something.
I guess this is something we might see play out.
Poor Bigfoot.
In the meantime, I've been Taylor here with Chelsea. We are Journey to the Fringe. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Journey to the Fringe. If you have liked what you have listened to, please like, share, subscribe, or follow, depending on what venue you are listening to us through. Also, please, if possible, leave a 5-star review, as that really helps us in the algorithms. Should you wish to interact with us, please check us out on your social media of choice. I bet you we are there. And if you really want to communicate with us and give us ideas for new episodes or tell us that we're wrong and terrible, either way, please send us an email at journeytothefringe@gmail.com. For now, I'll see you in the next episode.